But when you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you have peace with God, there should be a peace with yourself. I remember every day before I went to bed, growing up, I would pray, Lord, now I lay me down to sleep. And we all know that prayer. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. But I didn't know for sure what was going to happen if I was to die. But one day, I opened up the scriptures and received Christ as my Lord and Savior. And at that point, the peace of God.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Maintaining Healthy Relationships. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Maintaining Healthy Relationships.
And you need to understand this, that whenever I build somebody up, whenever I edify them, that word edify, very interesting word. It means to build and put one layer upon another layer and another layer upon another layer. Actually, it gives the idea of building a house brick by brick. That when you edify, what are you doing? You're building somebody up. When you serve somebody, see, the problem is that we have lost this ability, and we don't talk about it being a Baptist church. Some churches do it all the time, and we don't do it that much, and it's not necessarily an ordinance, but you know what? We have lost the fine art, and I'm not saying physically, but we have lost the fine art of washing feet. We have stopped, and again, I'm not necessarily talking about the act of foot washing. I'm talking about the service of foot washing. We have moved away from this ability to wash another person's feet, to serve them. And if Jesus Christ could humble himself, who was God of very God, who in the beginning was with God, who in the beginning was face to face with God, who in the beginning was God, if he can take on the shape and form of a man, humble himself and sit down and wash the disciples' feet, how much more should we wash the feet of those around us? We've lost that. We've lost that art. Again, I'm not necessarily talking about getting a literal bowl of water and soap and a rag and washing somebody's feet. I mean, I was at a service where I had to preach for the licensing of a minister. And when I got finished preaching, they called the minister down front. They made him take off his shoes, and they served him. They washed his feet. Amen. They got a basin of water, soap, and a rag, washed his feet. You know? So again, I'm not necessarily talking about that. I'm just talking about that attitude of foot washing. Because see, look, this is what happens. That whenever I build up and whenever I serve, when it comes time for me to have to, I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, the next C is confront, that when it comes time for me to confront, then what have I done? See, this is what I've done. Let me see here. All right. Okay, this is the bank right here, right? This is the bank, the healthy relationship bank. So when I build you up, I make a deposit. When I serve you, I make a deposit. So now it comes an issue between us, right? Then I can go and I can draw on that because I've made deposits. See, the problem is that we got too many people when the relationship gets bad that they're trying to make withdrawal. Oh, hallelujah. You're trying to make a withdrawal, and there's nothing in there. And that's why you got problems. I praise God for my wife. Every day, my wife prays for me. Every day, my wife prays for me. And that's so meaningful to me. And I appreciate that so much. It's just very meaningful. And you know, as you make those kind of deposits where you are serving another person, where you are building another person up, when it comes time to make a withdrawal, there's something there. So you got to nourish. See, wives, husbands, you want to jump on your wife. You want to jump on your husband because of what they're not doing, and you haven't made any deposits into the bank. Now, some folk are making deposits, and this is another sermon altogether, that some people are making deposits, and they're just depositing it into Bernie Madoff account. He's just taking your money, right? She's just taking your money. Let that one alone. I haven't developed that message, so I better let that alone. All right, I'm going to let that one alone. But there are some bad investments, all right? Why did I go down that road? So you, in order for grace and peace to rest on your relationship, you've got to nourish the relationship. The next N is, and this for lack of a better N word, only thing I could find was narcissism, but I didn't want narcissism to be the only word, so I said, you've got to nullify narcissism. And what do I mean by that? Nothing will kill a relationship quicker than pride and ego. That will kill, you know, when your relationship becomes all about you, when it's all about you, your problems, your thoughts, your feelings, when it's all about, that nothing will kill a relationship quicker than that. And so, yeah, we need to be concerned about our feelings. We need to be concerned, that no doubt about that. But when it's all about you, you know, I like that poem. I had a little tea party this afternoon at 3. It was very small, 3 guests in all, just I, myself, and me. I ate all the sandwiches while I drank all the tea. It was also I that ate the pie, now passed the cake to me. See, I mean, that's, you know, some people, man, you get around, it's all about them. You know, it's not about anything else, it's just all about them. And so you've got to kill narcissism. You with that love of self. Now again, we need to have a positive self-esteem, and there's no question about it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this egotistic, narcissistic occupation we have with ourselves. That if that's in your relationship with anybody, husband, wife, friend, co-worker, whatever, it's not going to be long. You know, people not going to want to be around you very long if all you talk about is you. Yeah. And you know, you're not going to have very many friends. You're going to wonder why your friends are becoming few, because all you want to do is talk about yourself. And so we have to learn how to put aside our pride, and we have to learn how to put aside our ego, because as we do that, then we can function in a healthy manner in relationships. You know, there was a wealthy businessman who was traveling around the world, and he came to this one village where a nurse was cleaning the wounds of this elderly man. And the businessman said, I wouldn't do that for $1 million. And the nurse kept on cleaning and said, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't either. See the attitudes there? Pride, ego, kept him from humbling himself and serving. And that will keep us. You know, when we want to protect our own territory, when we want to protect our own turf, and it becomes a prideful thing, then we have a hard time being able to see other things. And the most difficult thing is being able to see where we're wrong. Somebody said, and I know I'm not quoting this correctly, but I'm going to get it close. There is none so blind as he who will not see. My. There is none so blind as he who will not see. And so we have to nullify narcissism if we are going to maintain healthy relationships. The E is for esteem. Turn to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. This word esteem, very interesting. It means to give serious contemplation. And not only, don't stop there, it means to give serious contemplation with a bend towards giving it value and worth. So that if somebody was to put a diamond in my hand and I was to look at that diamond, and stare at that diamond, and then eventually, what thought is going to come in my mind as I look at that diamond? How much is it worth? Right? That's how much is it worth? That word esteem means to look at those around you . Give serious contemplation to the people around you. And then evaluate how much they're worth. How valuable are they to you? Paul says, esteem others better than yourself. Give that worth to others. I was watching a preacher this morning and before I left the house, and they were talking about the people in their family. And they said that they were having this issue, struggling with, you know, some issues about their family. And the Lord directed them to sit down and identify every immediate family member, husband, wife, sons and daughters, and then just write one thing about each one of their value in your life. You know, I have to admit that I fall sometime into the category of being kind of critical. But that challenged me to say, look at each one of my children and to write down what value they have in my life. Yeah, I might be their dad. Yeah, I might have taken care of them for, you know, the 18 years of their life. But at this point, what value? And I began to think about that. And I thought about each one of my kids. And I thought about the value that each one of my children has in my life. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying esteem. Give value to the people in your life. Consider what their worth is to you. Because I, no doubt, many of us have already considered the devalue that many people are to us. But have we considered the value? That when we connect with people and esteem them, then we can allow, watch this, grace and peace to rest on the relationship. Esteem. C, confrontation. And I'll say this. I'll lead out by saying this. One reason that we don't confront is because oftentimes we have not made deposits. And it's hard to confront when you haven't made deposits. It's hard to go to somebody just point blank and confront them, even though you might have every right to do it, if you haven't made those deposits. So when we think about confrontation, let me give you two things to think about. The first thing is that you need to look at yourself. that whenever confrontation is necessary, you need to look at yourself. And then in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, it says this: be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And again, when it comes to letting the sun go down upon your wrath, I will confess, I'm one of the worst ones. You know, sometimes I go to bed angry. I'm just going to be honest. But I'm being disobedient to the scripture, and I know I am. But when we confront, that we have to deal with the issue of our anger. And what we get out of this is that once we identify anger in our own heart, then we need to confront ourselves. And then what I'm taking when it says don't let the sun go down on your wrath, I believe that what he's saying is to straighten that thing out as soon as possible. That if there's anger in your spirit, then you need to deal with it and confront it as soon as possible. And again, I struggle with that. I struggle with that. Sometimes you just want to hold on to your anger. You want to stew in it for a little while. But the scripture says, deal with it as soon as possible. So you deal with your anger as soon as possible, and then you go to the other person. And you don't go to the other person with your chest poked out, with your fist balled up. You know, but praise God, I appreciate your prayers for my wife and I last week. We were coming back on the turnpike, and I was riding down the road, and all of a sudden I heard this bump. And I knew I was looking at the road, and I thought maybe I hit something. And what happened was this tow truck pulling a truck came and hit the side of my car. And, you know, we went off, and I pulled off the side of the road real quick, and he got pulled up. And now, I'm going to be honest with you, right? I wasn't in church last Sunday. So I'm going to be honest. Because you know what? The first thing that people do, I've had this happen. I was one day, my wife and I, we were coming to a stop sign, and there was a lady stopped in front of us, and she started backing up. And I'm looking like this, and she backed right up into my car. I got out the car, and she said, "Didn't you see me?" I said, "Yeah, I saw you. There's nothing I could do." And so this guy, he jumps out of his truck, right? And he's coming like at a pretty good gait. And so I'm getting out of my car, and the first thing in my mind, okay, man, you get buckle up now. I mean, that was the first thing that came to my mind. Because, you know, I was getting ready, man. You know, now I wasn't going to fight the dude, but, you know, if he hit me, now I just want to stand there, right? And he comes over. Now, again, now look, here's my posture, right? I'm like that. And he comes, and he says, "Man," he said, "I don't know what happened. My truck just started swerving. I don't know if I hit ice or what." He said, "Are you all right?" And guess what? All that went. It's all how you approach somebody, right? You approach somebody with anger and tension, then I guarantee you that they're not going to receive it. You know, the first thing they're going to do, they're going to buckle up. They're going to bristle up. And so we need to understand that when it comes time to confront in this grace and peace on the relationship, that the scripture says, speak the truth in love. And then 1 Peter tells us to do it with gentleness and respect. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Do it with gentleness and respect. Speak the truth in love and do it with gentleness and respect. And most times when the escalation starts, it starts because one person escalated it. And when one person escalates, then the other person, you know, I know very few people that, you know, you can blow steam off on them, and they're just going to sit there and let you blow it off on them. You know, they might take it for a while, but sooner or later, you know, you're going to strike a nerve. And I think that's maybe what some people want. They want to strike that nerve, right? But sooner or later, you're going to strike a nerve. All right. So we can either do it our way or we can do it God's way. You know, God says, speak the truth in love and then do it with gentleness and respect. So confrontation. And then finally, teachability. Teachability. Look at Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. And verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be wiser, yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Bible says that if we are going to function in a healthy manner in relationships, that we have to have a teachable spirit. That we have to be able to receive when somebody challenges us or confronts us. That the first thing that we want to do, again, is just kind of bristle up and buckle up and get ready for the fight. But we need to be in a constant attitude of teachability. That the scripture says, if you give instruction to a wise man. Now, notice it didn't say fool. It said a wise man, somebody that got a little sense. If you give a wise man instruction, it says what? That he will be wiser. That he's going to receive, that he's going to receive what you say. And if you teach a just man, he will increase in learning. You know, some children growing up, they have what's known as learning disabilities. And in these learning disabilities, if they don't get some help, then they are going to be, they're going to struggle when they get out in the mainstream of society. Well, you know what? Oh, man. No, he didn't. There are some Christians that have relationship learning disabilities. Right? And so they can't function. They can't function in relationships because they got learning disabilities. And what is a learning disability? The learning disability is they're not teachable. You can't tell them anything. They know it all. You know, it's just like back in the 70s, before we got all these computers and stuff, that there was a man who was selling some encyclopedias. And he said, a brand new set of encyclopedias. He said, I bought it for a graduation gift for my son. But he already knows everything. He didn't need it. Already knows everything. And that's the problem, that you know, we already know everything. And when we already know everything, nobody can tell us anything, even in relationships. You know, husband can't tell his wife anything. Wife can't tell her husband anything. You know, parents can't tell children anything. Children can't tell parents. Why? Because they know everything. And so the scripture admonishes us to have a teachable spirit. And that if we will exercise these principles that I shared with you today, connect, then we will find grace and peace resting on our relationship.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Fence of Responsibility. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Maintaining Healthy Relationships, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Maintaining Healthy Relationships. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Maintaining Healthy Relationships. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Also, Dr. William R. Glaze's book, Rebuilding the Fences of Broken Relationships, is made available by contacting us at anchoredinjesus.org. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, our website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Galais and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.